I'm not completely well, but I sure am better. Amen. So bear with me if I cough a little here and there, but amen. It's getting better. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. The Lord said through the pen of Malachi, "Bring me all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Now listen closely and prove me." Everybody say, "Prove me." Today we'd probably say, "Try me." Try me. God's speaking here. And the Lord's saying, "Try me. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Thou wilt rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. And everybody said amen. Our subject this morning is simply this: try God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Try God." Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I often in the mail get something and these advertisements say, "Try me." Yeah. Amen. Brother Marshall brought me something this morning and said, "Try me." Amen. I got it's very interesting. The other day, I got an example of children's toothpaste. I don't know who they thought they were sending it to, but I'm still glad I got teeth. Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to give Tom a try. You never know, I might like it. Amen. But it's a world of advertising, everything saying, "Try me." Amen. And in the middle of that, I'm reading to you today, God speaking to His people, saying, "Try me." You've tried you. You've tried your way. Now try my way. You've done what you thought was right. Now do what I think is right. You've tried your way. Now try my way. Amen. So God is saying, "Try me." Amen. The context of our verse today: Israel has now returned after 70 years in the land of Babylon. And God has sent them home and many of them back to the city of Jerusalem. They come back to a city that no longer is beautiful, but it has totally been leveled to the ground. And they start building from the ground up. They began to build their houses, and through a lot of trial and tribulation and encouragement from the prophets, they slowly began to build the temple back again. You see, priorities are important. Now that doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people. Amen. But to people that really claim to love God and put other things before Him, it does mean something. The carnal mind would say, "It's only right that I should take care of my business first. I should build my house first. I should take care of myself first." That is, and that's normal. That's the way most people think. But God had called His people to think out of the box. He had called His people to be different. He said, "If you'll take care of me, I'll take care of you. If you take care of my house, I'll take care of your house." Now they were a little slow to learn that. What you've got to understand though is this group of people did not know the former Jerusalem. This group of people had not known God like the past generation had known God. They grew up in Babylon. They grew up captives to a foreign power. And they had lived their entire lives outside of what the former generation had known. They did not know what the former generation knew. They lived in an entirely different circumstance. Now they've come back to Jerusalem, but it's not the same Jerusalem. It's important that we pass to the next generation our experiences. Now hear me very well. But each generation must have their own experiences with God. I cannot have experiences with God for my daughter. She has to experience that for herself. I can talk of my experiences and I can share my experiences and God as I know Him. But our children must discover God for themselves. So God is speaking to every generation and to every individual, and He's saying, try me. I know what your fathers did and your grandfathers did, but God said, I'm speaking to you, and I'm speaking to you now. Try me. So He's speaking to Israel. They're coming back. They didn't know God like the last generation knew God. But He's saying, now try me. Amen. There's a really interesting lesson here. He says to them in one place, he said, have you noticed that you keep putting your money in a bag and it feels like it's got holes in it? Anybody ever experienced that feeling? Oh, yeah. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? He said, but you try me. I'm going to tell you today, you can plug those holes by following biblical principles. And if you'll follow biblical principles, even concerning finance, it'll turn your situation around. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever noticed that grandmas and grandpas don't make as much money as their kids, but they had more money? They didn't have the latest stuff, but they had money in the bank. You know why? Because they learned some principles. And they followed biblical principles. Amen. My sweet little mama, she never worked on a public job. She took care of 7 kids. You talk about a job. And those others are not as good as I am. They were rascals. I'm the good one of the bunch. Amen. No, we each had our circumstances. Amen. My dad passed away and my mom didn't have a lot of experience in taking care of bills and such. My dad always did that. But she was a godly lady. And you know what? She continued just to follow the same principles. And she never had a day of need in her life. God took care of her every day. Amen. And when she, my brothers and my sister were all surprised that when they got her bank book after it was all over and began to look at her finances. Amen. And there was a lot more left than they imagined could be. You know why? Because God just said, now, and she just took care of the Lord. Took care of His business and took care of her business. And amen. And it was a blessing. Praise God. So I'm just saying, if you've tried that, bag with the holes in it business your way, why don't you try it God's way? Let's give Him a try and see what happens. Amen. And that's not the main focus I want to get to today, but you just try the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You try it God's way. Amen. Here's Here's one thing that we need to know about God is you cannot put Him in a box. God is not a formula. I said God is not a formula. You don't figure Him out and say, well, you know, if I do this and this and X times Y will always... Well, God's going to show you, well, you know, that worked then, but I'm going to do something different today. God is a moving God. He's a God in motion. It's like a football player when he gets ready and they run a pattern. He calls the huddle and whatever pattern it is, he explains it, and everybody knows where they're supposed to be, and the blockers know what they've got to do, and the receivers know what they've got to do. And when that quarterback falls back to throw that ball, he doesn't throw it where anybody is. He throws it where they're supposed to be. Isn't that right? If he throws it where they are, they're not going to be there by the time the ball gets there. They're going to be down there where they're supposed to be. And so he understands something. They've got a plan, and he lays out the plan, and he says, I'm going to throw it. It's going to be right over there. And so it's that receiver's job to get there. And if he can do what he's supposed to do, he'll be there, and the ball will be there when it's supposed to be, and they'll make a score. Amen. Because God's like that also. He tells us what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to be, and He's not going to be just where we were. He's going to throw it where we're supposed to be. Your blessing is going to be where you're supposed to be. You say, well, Brother Grissom, it's been a long time. Well, are you moving? If you're sitting down waiting, your blessing's over there. Hallelujah. Get up and move to where it's waiting for you. Be where God told you to be, and the blessing will be there. Try God. Try God's way. Amen. God's way is different. Real different. Have you ever noticed how different God is? Let me give you an example. I love this story. Gideon, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Everybody say he was hiding. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Here's Gideon hiding over behind the wine press, and the angel calls him a mighty man of valor. Amen. You see, God wasn't throwing the ball where he was. He was going to throw it where it was supposed to be. He didn't just see where he was. He saw where he was going to be. And that's where the blessing was out there. Now listen to what Gideon said. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Everybody say if. There's a pivotal word. If the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? Well, I could give you a reason. It's because they weren't serving God. They decided they wanted to serve the idols of the land instead of the God of the heavens and the glory. And that was the reason they were in trouble. Most of the time, if we get in trouble, it's because we're not serving the Lord like we ought. And that was their problem. I can tell you why. Isn't that smart? I can always do that for other people. I can tell your problems. I just don't always figure out mine. And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He don't sound very valorous there, does he? He doesn't sound very brave there. This doesn't sound like a great, courageous soldier to me. Amen. Sounds like an embittered, grumbling whiner. But God's not finished yet. Amen. But you watch as the story unfolds. God calls him, and he begins to respond to what the Lord tells him to do. And finally, he tells Gideon, he said, I am going to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. And I'm going to use you to do it. So he sends out this call, and everybody say 32,000. 32,000 soldiers show up. Now that's not many compared to what the Midianites had. But he had great faith. He said, I got 32,000. And the Lord said, that's too many. Too many? Can you have too many soldiers? God said he could. He said, now you tell everybody that's afraid to go home. This amazes me. I cannot hardly believe that 29,000 men said, I'm a scaredy cat. I'm going home to mama. But they did. No wonder God said, bunch of sissies. And then the Lord said, that's too many. 3,000 is too many. Let's go down to the water test. And he went down and he said, now you watch those fellows. He said, those that just get down there and start drinking, they're not worthy. He said, but you watch those fellows that keep their eye on the prize and they get their hand and they lift water up and they lap it like a dog. Lunk, 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 lunk. And they're watching out. He said, that's the ones I want. And when he got through, he had 300 left. All right. I'm telling you, God doesn't do things like we do things. And he said, now I got it judged. Amen. I got 300 men. Amen. And now we're ready to go fight against the army of the Midianites. Amen. And he said, all right, God, what are we going to use? He said, well, I want you to get a trumpet in one hand, and I want you to get a pitcher with a candle in it in the other. Huh? I thought we were going to fight. Well, we are. But we're going to do it my way. But I say, try God. Now, that's trying God right there. When you get ready to go fight a battle, and you got a trumpet in one hand, and you got an earthen pitcher with a candle in it in the other hand, and you're, where are you going? I'm getting ready to go fight, man. Try God. That's really different. Amen. And so the Lord said, I want you to circle around the camp. And he said, when you hear the wind blowing in the mulberry trees, he said, I want you to lift that trumpet and I want you to blow it with everything that you've got. And he said, I want you to take that pitcher and I want you to throw it down and break it and let that light flare up. Hey, what a way to fight a battle. But you're just trying God. No wonder that other bunch went home. They wouldn't have had the guts to try this. So he goes in, and just a few were willing to try God's way. And so they got there. They heard the wind blowing. They threw down the pitcher. Amen. The light flashed up. They took those trumpets and blew it just as loud as they could. All of a sudden, Midianites jumped up, scared to death. And they said, oh, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, scared to death. They grabbed their sword and started stabbing one another with it. What a way to fight a battle. What a way to fight a battle. But you know what? They won. God's way. Try God. And that sounds real weird, doesn't it? Well, God's plans don't always sound like ours. Amen. As a matter of fact, His methods are really almost diametrically the opposite of what he would do. He said you want to go up, first of all, you got to go down. You want to be the head, be the servant. You want to get, give. Well, that makes any sense, Brother Fry. But that's God's way. Try God. Do it differently. Amen. He said, coals of fire on the head of your enemy. Now, we like that one, don't you? Burn his hair up. Cook his brain. That's not what that verse is saying. And what that verse is talking about is, you know, back then, it wasn't easy to start a fire. They didn't have matches. So you had to start a fire. You know, it was a process. You had to get rocks and put them together and get you a little kindling and get it finally started. So they didn't let fires go out very often. He said, but if your neighbor's, here's what he's saying, if your neighbor's fire goes out, share some of your fire with him. Invite him over to your house and you get some fire out of your fireplace and you give, because they carried everything on their head. They still do. They get these little donuts up there and they put pictures and all kinds of stuff they just put on their head and they just start walking down the road and got stuff on there. You ever seen that? You know, here we got trailers to haul it, but over there they don't have a lot. So, so he said, you get him some fire and he can go home and he can take fire from your fire and start his own fire. So in order, what he's saying is, be a blessing to your brother. If your brother's fire goes out, give him some of your fire. Amen. Don't give him a piece of your mind. Give him some of your fire. But you can't give him some fire unless you got some. Amen. If you're not prayed through, you can't pray him through. Amen. If you're not encouraged, you can't encourage him. Amen. But fired up and you prayed through. You can share a little fire with your brother. You can share some fire with your sister. You can help somebody else because you've already been blessed. Hey, let's try it God's way. That's why he said, try me. Amen. Try me. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a little lady, her husband died, and they were in debt, and the debtors came and was going to take her two sons and put them in slavery until the debt was paid. And she was in a heap of trouble and a world of hurt. And so she came to the servant of the Lord, Elisha, and explained the situation. And Elisha said, well, what do you got in your house? You know, God always wants to know what you got, not what you don't have. He uses what you have, not what you don't have. Amen. You know, one of our big hang-ups is comparing ourselves to somebody else and what they got and thinking, well, if I had that, no wonder they do so good. Look what they got. Well, look what you have. God's not going to use what they've got. He's going to use what you have. What you are. And so he says to the woman, he said, what you got? She said, I got some oil. He said, great. He said, I want you to get your, go home and go to all your neighbors and borrow all of the pots and pans you can find. Get everything you can find. And he said, when you get all the, every pot and pan and vessel you can find, he said, you put it in the house and you close the door. And then he said, I want you to go get that oil. And I want you to start pouring. This is God's way now. Everybody knows that's all she had. And all these empty, everybody say empty. Everybody say empty. Empty vessels. That's all she had. A little oil and a bunch of empty vessels. God likes that. If God can find an empty vessel, he won't leave it empty. He'll fill it. And so she goes and she starts pouring this oil into the first pot. Glug, 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 and it keeps pouring. Wow, that's neat. Glug, glug, glug. And it fills up. And the pot's bigger than what she had. And she goes over the next one. And she pours that one full. And the next thing you know, she's got her boys and, hurry, 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 I need another one, And she fills that one up. Hey, 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 I need another one. And she fills that one up. And they just, I mean, all over the place, just pots and pans. And she says, hey, bring me another, bring me another. And finally they said, Mom, there's not any more. And all of a sudden the oil goes, cuts off. Amen. Now she's got a whole lot more of what she had. And he says, go sell it and pay your creditors. Amen. Now see, that was God's. Who would have thought of that? Would you have thought of that? Would you have just one day woke up and said, yeah, I got some oil here. I'm going to go get all the vessels my neighbors got, and I'm going to pour this oil out, and I'm going to go sell it and pay my creditors off. Now, you wouldn't have thought of that, but God did. He doesn't think like you think. He said, my ways are not your ways. My ways are above your ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, but my thoughts are as above your thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. Try God. Try God. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time, your attention this morning. God wants us to try Him out. Amen. He's not like anybody else that you know. Amen. Praise God. The most secure thing and the most original thing that you can do is try God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's the most original thing that you can do. Amen. And you know what? It works. It works. Amen. He is an original. Amen. And He never, ever fails. Amen. So what you got going on today in your life, and you need some help. You need some help. Well, you know what? It's time to try God. You've tried other things without success. Amen. You remember that little lady in the Bible that was, she'd had this issue of blood for, what was it, 12 years? It said she spent all that she had and she'd been to many physicians and she wasn't any better. And so she said, you know what? I think I'll try God. And she just touched the hem of His garment. And she left whole. And you've tried all kinds of stuff. I'm inviting you today. Try the Lord. Try Him. He will not fail you. If you sincerely give 100% to His way and to His will, it will work. It may not seem the right way, but it will work. Amen. Praise God. Let me just offer an invitation here today. If somebody here, you've got a situation going on in your life and you need some help, why don't you come down here to the front of this building, stand at this altar, and just say, God, I want to try You. At the invitation of Your word, everything else I've tried has failed. I'm going to try You. This is not working out. But I want it to work, and I need it to work. So I'm asking You to help me. I want to try it Your way. Amen. Somebody want to make that kind of an agreement with God today? Somebody willing to tell the Lord, I'm willing to try it Your way now. Amen. If you are, come on, step out and come down. Amen. Let's just offer ourselves, open ourselves, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirit to the Lord today.